Good evening, everyone. As you're turning to Mark 14, let me say my name is Doogie. I'm the pastor of Berry Street Community Church, one of our partnership of churches. A few folks here know me, but if you don't, please come and say hi at the door at the end. I'd love to say hello. Over these Sunday nights in August, we are seeing together how prayer impacts different aspects of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we are going to see how prayer helps us in our battle against temptation. Let's read Mark 14 from verse 32, page 1020. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, shall we? Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we don't depend on you as we should. We don't call out to you as often as you would have us do. Would we trust you tonight as a faithful father of your children? Teach us more and more what it means to watch and pray that we would not fall into temptation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you consider yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I wonder how often you realize that you're in a war. Right at this very moment in time, you're engaged in a war, a real war. I imagine that most of us are going through life thinking that, well, I'm just living from one day to the next, trying to honor the Lord Jesus, trying to serve him as faithfully as I can. Have you ever wondered why that is so difficult? Even the simple way of obeying what Jesus has commanded, even as we read our Bibles in the morning and we ask, "Lord, help me to do this today." And within 2 minutes, we've sinned. We've fallen short again. Our enemy in this war, make no bones about it, is the devil. And he might not have horns and a pitchfork, but he wars against God's people. He wars against God. He's desperate to have us turn against God. He loves it when we sin. The Bible refers to him as the tempter, the father of lies. He loves to question what God has said and raise doubts in our minds about God's goodness. Did God really say that, Doogie? Now, don't get me wrong. The devil is not the equal opposite of God. It's not like they're equal opposing forces. The devil is a created being, and his destruction is coming one day. He is a weakened and defeated enemy. But for those of us who are living in this war right now, we feel the sharpness of it. We feel the weariness of it. Some of us may be sitting here tonight thinking that we're out of that war. We've lost already. You know, when we fall, we have got no one to blame but our own evil desires. But I want to tell you tonight that if you are a Christian, if you have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, once you were Satan's prisoner, but now you are no longer. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has unlocked those chains, has taken you out of that kingdom and into his brilliant kingdom. If you are weary tonight, the Lord Jesus is the one who gives us rest. Jesus is now the ruler of our hearts. He's gentle and caring and compassionate. He loves to forgive our sins. And as the war rages on, as it will do from this day and tomorrow and the next until the day that we die, the Lord Jesus has not left us on our own to just figure things out. How am I going to fight this temptation? How am I going to fight sin? On the night before he dies, facing temptation of his own, we're told he was deeply distressed, troubled. His soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He prays and remains loyal to his Father. His disciples, they are conked out in the garden. What does he say to those men who disobey him again and again? Well, verse 38, he says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Watch and pray. That's how Jesus helps us to fight that temptation to sin. Watch and pray. The devil, we're told, prowls around like a roaring lion, ready to devour us. Don't fall asleep. Don't think the devil gives up. You know those soldiers who are on guard down at Buckingham Palace behind the fence? The tourists think that those guys are just there for decoration. They think they're ordinary blokes dressed up to look fancy. That is until someone jumps the fence. And then you see that these guys are killers. They're on guard. They're at sentries. They are there with a real job to do. They are watching everything that's going on. They're not asleep. The Lord Jesus says to us, be on guard. Pray. Be that vigilant. And so tonight, I want to say three simple things about watching and praying as we face temptation. Here's the first one. Watch and pray because we are in danger. We're vulnerable. You might have missed on the news, but I have friends who traveled to the south of France this weekend, and there was some flash flooding there. Thousands of people had to be evacuated, and sadly, some died. Some people didn't listen to weather warnings. They thought they could ride the storm out on their own. One man tried to take shelter in his caravan. He thought that would save him from a flash flood. Now, later on, the emergency services, they found the caravan smashed to pieces. They've not found the man. Ever since Adam and Eve, back in the Garden of Eden, were tempted to sin, human beings, we have been vulnerable to temptation. In fact, being tempted may be part and parcel of what it means to be a human being. Often we think we're the only ones, but we're not. It is the experience of every human being who has ever lived to be tempted. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect human, was tempted. We often think it was easy for Jesus. Well, he's God. But that's not the picture the Bible paints for us. In his humanity, he knew how tough it was for us. Very early in his ministry, back in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, we're told that the Lord Jesus went through periods of the most intense temptation. Just as he is here in Mark 14. Jesus has eaten what we call the Last Supper with his disciples. He's told them what is coming at the very next day, the hours that lie ahead. Arrest, torture, execution, death. And he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Look what it says. Verse 33, he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? As he faced the cross, what temptation was facing the Lord Jesus Christ? It was a temptation to throw in the towel, to give up, to not follow God's plan, to avoid not just the physical horrors, but the spiritual horrors of hell that he suffered in our place. He was tempted to run away. Ever been tempted to throw in the towel when it comes to your faith in the Lord Jesus? Ever been tempted to do exactly the opposite of what God wants? Ever been tempted to deny God or put something else in his place? Jesus was tempted just as we are, yet he was without sin. And the disciples, well, they're asleep. He's told them, watch and pray, guys. Watch and pray. I'm no different. Now, let me be clear. It's not a sin to be tempted. Being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit does not mean that temptation, you know, suddenly goes. In fact, the more that you love Jesus and perhaps the more that your faith in him matures and grows, it's like the devil paints an even bigger target on your back. He loves to trip people up. Jesus, our God in human flesh, never sinned, and yet he was tempted. If he did not resist that temptation, he could not have been our perfect sacrifice. But he did, and he is. I also have to say that in James chapter 1, we're told that God is not tempted, and nor does he tempt people. I said if we give in, we only have ourselves to blame. But did you notice how clever Satan is in his tempting? He knows when we're vulnerable. He knows how to dangle the carrot at just the right angle. The Lord Jesus was deeply distressed and troubled. He knows when it's late and our eyes are just closing. He loves those vulnerable moments. Now, we're always vulnerable to temptation, but there's times it's like we're easy pickings. You might not realize it, but even as you walked to church tonight, your brain was on high alert. Think of the amount of processing that went on as you walked down Cecil Road to avoid, I don't know, potholes or, you know, uneven paving slabs, as you crossed the road when the cars were coming and not coming, and how far away they were. Your brain was on, you know, sensory overload, protecting you. It was on guard. Or think about how you feel when there's a weather forecast and it's about to snow. Snow's forecast. Half of you won't even leave the house. If you've ever driven in snow, you know what it's like when you've reached your destination. You've got to prise your fingers off the steering wheel. It's sensory overload. When it comes to temptation, we need to be alert. We need to watch. We need to pray. The devil is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what activity we're involved in. You know, I'll tell you a story from this morning about Tricia. She said I could tell you this. During the sermon this morning, she said that at one point her mind just drifted and she was thinking about something that was due to happen in 2 months' time. Some of you, as you're sitting listening to this tonight, are worried about work tomorrow. Or are thinking, I'm going on holiday this week, you beauty. All sorts of things, even when we're in church, even singing God's praise, even listening to his word, the devil loves to tempt us to think about a host of other things that we might not listen to Jesus and obey him. Watch and pray. We're in constant danger. Second point is this. We need to watch and pray because we're dependent. We cannot fight it on our own. We need to depend on God himself. How does Jesus pray as he faces temptation? Verse 36, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus prays as a dependent Son of God. Think back to how the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven. The same prayer that teaches us to pray every day. Lead us not into temptation. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray as dependent children. He could have taught us to call on God in all sorts of ways. You know, mighty God, everlasting, you know, whatever. All sorts of great and lofty terms. And yet he says to Christians, when you pray, say, Our Father. Father, I need you to do what I cannot do myself. I need you to give me some of your strength to face this down. Because I am weak and you are strong. Those who think they have the ability to withstand temptation are those who are not praying. Verse 37, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Verse 39, once more Jesus went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. He goes off again. Comes back, what does he find? Are you still sleeping? Jesus, as he faced temptation, needed to pray, needed to rely on his Father in heaven. How much more do we? As other men sleep, Jesus falls on his knees and cries out for help. And as he prays, he's given the strength, the ability to follow God's commands. The other men are asleep. As he prays, he's given the strength, the energy to go to the cross and face all that is ahead the next day. Disciples sleep. Maybe you don't know this, but prayer is one of our primary defenses against temptation. In fact, it may be one of the only defenses we have against temptation. Prayer is how the followers of Jesus raise the shield of faith to block off the enemy's evil attacks. I don't need to be complicated when I pray. I can say that I'm weak. I can admit that. I can pray, well, Father, whatever practical schemes I may have put in place to avoid temptation, covenant eyes, or whatever it is, they are useless unless you and your strength lead me not into temptation. Father, not my will be done, but yours. Help me to do what is right. What happens if I don't depend on my heavenly Father? The eyelids get heavy. I'm not watching. I'm not praying. And more often than not, I will sin. I'm sure you've had some kind of experience at some point, a bit like the disciples. Look what they'd said to Jesus that very night. Verse 17, just across the page. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely not I. Look at verse 31. Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And the others said the same. We'll be faithful to you, Jesus. An hour later, 2 hours later, 6 hours later, those men had scarpered. Not one of them was to be found. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The temptations that come to us are about as varied as we are. Pride, how often I think of myself more highly than I should and look down on others. The temptations to indulge in wrongful appetites, sexual, alcohol, gambling, whatever. Temptation to misuse whatever power I might think that I have at home or at work. Temptations to be selfish, to think that others should serve me instead of me serving them. See, the devil will love to sow those kind of thoughts in our heads and say, did God really say that you need to be so sensitive about sin, do you? Does he really expect you to literally forgive other people? Yes. Yes, he does. And we cannot resist the devil unless we have God's help. How does God's help come to us? It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Listen to this from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. He, that's Jesus, offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries to the one who could save him from death. A few chapters before that, because Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted themselves. As I go through the day, faced with temptation after temptation, I'm supposed to cry out, Lord, help me. 300 years ago, there was an old preacher called Daniel Rowlands. In a rather old-fashioned way, he put it like this. The head in heaven, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is sympathizing with the feet, that's Christians. Here on earth, they are pinched and pressed. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. When we're tempted, he'll come to help. He'll maybe bring some scriptures to mind. Maybe the phone will go at just the right moment. Maybe a friend will arrive on the doorstep and ring the bell, and it's all to help us. We need to watch and pray because we are utterly dependent. It brings me to my last point. We need to watch and pray because it's the only way to stand firm. I was on holiday in the past month up in Norfolk. And just outside the town that we were staying in, there's this really high kind of cliff, higher than the others. And, you know, you can climb up there on a sunny day. You can see for miles. Of course, in my foolishness, I thought, there's going to be an easy path to the top. as I'm pushing the buggy with the two boys in it. I lifted most of them all the way to the top. It was worth it. But you could watch these boats out on the sea for ages. Now, I'm no sailor. I don't even pretend to be. But, you know, there's something of a magical mystery about sailing to me. You know, like, not one with an engine, an old-fashioned sailing boat. How is it, okay, how is it that even though the breeze is blowing from the shore out to sea, that they can still come back in? How, you know, I don't, why are they not just blown to Denmark or somewhere like that? Now, I know that there'll be people here who understand and, you know, can talk me through it. Leave me to my mystery, okay? I'm almost certain it's got something to do with how the sails are set. Someone please nod. Yeah, okay. I'm not far away, okay? As we watch and pray in the face of temptation, we're setting our spiritual sails so that God sets the direction. That's what happens as we watch and pray. If we pray sincerely, we will be watchful to sin's first approaches. Whether that might be to lie or to compromise in some way morally. You know, temptations are a lot like weeds. They're easier to deal with when, you know, they're small and just poking out the ground and you can pull them out and get rid of them rather than when they're 10 feet tall and they've taken over your entire garden. Lord, will you heighten my senses? Sin makes an approach. Well, it's not a sin to be tempted. I think it probably is a sin to put ourselves in the path of the temptation that, you know, will feed whatever lust we have. John Bunyan, who wrote a brilliant account of the Christian life hundreds of years ago, a book called Pilgrim's Progress. Anyone read Pilgrim's Progress? Few folk have read it. You probably get it in the bookstall. Read it. It's brilliant. Absolute classic. Okay? But in a famous scene, as this Christian is walking along the road that will eventually take him to heaven, he comes across this figure called the Destroyer. Probably the devil. And the devil asks him, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And the Christian says, "Well, I once belonged to your city and your kingdom. But now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm heading for God's city." And the devil said to him, "If it wasn't for the hope that I want you to do more to serve me, I would strike you down now." The devil desires to have us. What happens if we do fall? Well, look at verse 41. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." If we do fall, well, the hour had come. What hour? The hour for Jesus to go to the cross. What was he doing there? Dying to forgive all our sins. Crushing Satan, emptying him of power. He died in our place. For all the temptations that I've given up on and just willfully indulged, he died that I might be forgiven. The innocent in the place of the guilty, that I might serve God, that my heart would be changed. That I would be part of his kingdom and do what he would tell me to do with his help. You know, as we trust him and we are forgiven, listen to what we're told. "No temptation has seized us except that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." What part does praying, "Lord, lead me not into temptation," what part does that play in our daily lives? The Lord Jesus would have us pray this every day. If we think that temptation will diminish with age or spiritual maturity, it doesn't. I've asked the older guys, does this get easier? And every one of them says, no chance. I was hoping it would. Each stage of life brings new temptations. The old ones don't really go away. My only escape is to cry, Father, help me. How often have I sinned? And then looking back, thought, why didn't I ask for God's help? I imagine you felt like that as well. If you're not here as a Christian tonight, you don't consider yourself a Christian, you don't know the battle because you're not yet in God's kingdom. Well, can I tell you that it's worth it? The Lord Jesus loves us and gave himself for us. And the Lord Jesus tells us that whoever comes to him, he will never drive away. If you call out to him for forgiveness tonight, he will welcome you. Open arms. He'll forgive you. And by his Spirit, he will help you to fight the battles that we have talked about tonight. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, this is something that we should be praying for one another. Please pray for me. Lord, lead Doogie not into temptation today. We should pray this for one another. Shall we bow our heads? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we have fallen into sin through temptation again and again, even today. Please, would you forgive our many sins? Please, help us to battle the temptations that each of us face. Please help us to stand firm. Give us that shield of faith. Help us to call on you, whatever moment of the day or night, that we would fight off the devil's attacks. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Would we pray this not just for ourselves, but for one another often? We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.